The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Parachute paradox. Never jumped out of an airplane with a parachute before myself. I have done parasailing behind a boat before once. I remember when I went, "Hey, I want to go do that." You know, you got to pay for it and everything. And the gentleman looked at me, kind of looked me up and down. He said, "How much do you weigh?" I said, "That's not a good beginning." I told him, and he said, "Come back in half an hour and see if the wind has died down." In any case, it all worked out. I'm here, everything held up, but ready to jump out of an airplane with a parachute. One would want in some way to know, to have experienced that the parachute will work, that it's going to do its job, that it's going to hold up, it's going to bring you safely to the ground. But the only way to actually know that and experience it is to jump out, jump into the void and use the parachute. And there's a similarity with God and our relationship with God. And at times, especially thinking as found Jesus' radical words today to us, but this, on God's part, calling us to really place our hope in him, to trust in him, and on our part at times, wanting first to experience, to know that he's going to be there for us, that he's going to care for us, that he's really my good father, and he has a good plan for my life, and he knows what he's about, and my safety, my security, and my fulfillment really is found in him and trusting in him and following him. But the only way to actually experience that and know that at times is precisely to jump out first. And then we find that, yep, he's there, because we all are seeking and need and desire security and fulfillment, and it motivates us at all times, but where is it found? Because Jesus' words today, it's in three particular areas. It's radical. It's kind of like, how can Jesus say that? Unless you hate your mother and your father and your children and your spouse and even yourself, can't be my disciple. Unless you pick up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Unless you renounce all your possessions, you can't be my disciple. It's all or nothing. How can Jesus say that? Even if we pause and we will to understand what is he saying, but how can he say that? He can only say that. It only makes sense if it's only really good news if he's God. And why would he say that if he's God and he's a good God? Because somehow he understands something that we don't necessarily always grasp in the moment, but he's making clear that unless we put him first in some way, in a particular way, unless he really is kind of our all in all, unless all of our hope is in him, then we won't find and we won't have that security and that fulfillment that we're seeking. And it's about our good, his love for us, his care, his desire relationships, right? Jesus mentions kind of the most important, the most necessary relationships, and even ourselves, and suffering, and then stuff, possessions. Like, means many things, but it certainly means, and probably above all in this context, Jesus talking about our material goods. And in all of those, we can either seek our security and our fulfillment in them, or at times, especially with suffering, doubt God's goodness, even kind of at the forefront, and so look for something instead of him in those moments. And so Jesus, in saying, you have to hate, he's using that extreme language, obviously, not in the context of you have to despise and want to destroy and want to be rid of your parents or your siblings or your children or your spouse or even yourself. Not a self-loathing or a self-hatred in that way. No. You can't look for our security and our fulfillment. You can't put these relationships before God. And indeed, it's to say, to put God and him and his commandments, to know that they're life-giving in all of these relationships. Even when they can be hard, even when we can't sometimes understand fully, how is it to be able to place that trust, that hope, to take that leap of faith. Certainly with ourselves, that tendency we all have, part of what actually Jesus is coming to heal and free us from, that self-centeredness, that inclination that we have to be in control, and when we're not in control, it's not okay. But when God's in control, it is okay. Jesus is saying, I gotta be in control. Let me be in control of your life. And that's where your security and fulfillment is. Suffering, for ourselves, for our loved ones, especially. Right? One of the temptations is God is not good and he's not with me, and this is, suffering is hard, and it's a suffering, and it's, as we understand rightly so, it's what we call a physical evil. Sometimes our suffering is because of injustice and a moral evil, someone doing something wrong. It brings about that suffering. Sometimes it's ourselves. But even just suffering in general in this life. A flood or a hurricane or a tornado or some sickness or viruses. That's an invitation to be able to trust in him, to look to him. Say, God, you're bringing something good out of this. Let my starting point be not, well, obviously, God doesn't care, but this is hard. I need Jesus, you, to be my hope. You are my hope here. And for our possessions, how easy it can be to look to the goods and our abilities and our skills and then the abundance that we generate from that for our security. Especially thinking about our future and even our fulfillment. I've got this, so now I can do this thing, and that's really what's going to make me happy. Or I've got this much, so I think things are going to be okay. But that's meant to be Jesus. And at times, it takes a leap of faith to say, God, you put me in this situation, you've led me here, I have been faithful to you up to this point, and now you're asking for a deeper hope in you. And what God wants to bring about in us, among other things, is that we would know his goodness and his love for us in a deeper way, and that strengthens our faith and our hope and our love, ultimately our life. And it's hard, and in some way, we have to experience that Jesus isn't just a wise man, he's not just a good teacher, he's not just a prophet, he's not just a compassionate leader, great leader, he's all of those things, but he's God, and he's with me, and he's for me, and he's good, and he knows what he's about, and he's my path to life, and he's my security. There might be lots of ways. I'm just going to say one more thing, but before our creed, as we profess our faith, just give us a moment of silence. Just invite us to bring your heart before the Lord, your life. Say, Jesus, what ways there are that maybe he's inviting you to place that deeper hope in him. Maybe areas where you've been putting it in something else. Maybe an area where there's been struggle, and to really take that leap of faith in a deeper and a fuller way. And to ask for that grace to do it. Because, again, I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to go parachuting or what that experience would be like, but I'm sure at that moment there's always the question of, am I going to do this or am I not? And what am I trusting in? That's true in life. I just want to encourage us, because I've been with many of you, and certainly many others, but there are all sorts of ways that we have trusted in the Lord and we have experienced his faithfulness in the past, and how important it is to remember those things in our own lives. Remember, God's faithful, he hasn't changed. That's part of the struggle with the Israelites. God did an amazing thing, and you're so good, God, and you're here with us, and then sometimes literally days later, there's a new difficult situation. It's like, well, God's abandoned us. That's it. But also for one another. So many of you have experienced God's goodness, his faithfulness, whether it's in relationships. Sometimes it's hard on doing what God asks us in so many ways in our relationships. We were faithful there, or with oneself, or in areas of suffering, or in areas of finance and possession. And you've seen God, you've trusted in him, you've taken that leap, and you've seen his faithfulness, and how important it is to share that with one another at times, whether it's family members or fellow parishioners or friends or co-workers, sometimes particularly where we see them going through something. So that they invite them to know that God's with them, but to invite them to place that hope in God. Sometimes our inclination is to try and handle it ourselves. But sometimes God's calling that person to that deeper hope. Something only God can do. I can't do it. You can't do it. But God can. That jumping out of that radical hope. We will encourage them. Just leave us at that one area of possessions. Because that can be a challenge for many of us, sometimes all of us at different times, to really hope. And just to give two brief examples. One is from several years ago. I think it was in the Faith magazine that I remember reading it, but it was reading it somewhere, a woman from our diocese sharing about her life and her family, and how when her and her husband were newly married, just been married a few years, in their prayer, their discussion, they said, you know what, we need to tithe, we need to take some of that first fruits of what we've made and our income, and we need to just give it back to the Lord, and we see how important that is, and it helps us to grow in gratitude, to experience, to acknowledge everything's a gift from the Lord and God is our good Father. And that in itself, that's a step of hope, of faith in God. But then she shared at one point, again earlier on in their marriage there, but after they started doing this and they came to 1 month where they didn't have any money. They had enough money to tithe or to pay their heating and electrical bill and decide what to do. I never personally been in that specific situation, and part of me might be inclined to say, well, of course God just wants me to pay the heating bill and keep the heat running in our house. And she shared with you, you know what they did? They said, no, we want to trust in the Lord here and we want to continue to do this. So they gave their tithe. And she said later that day, that exact same day, I don't remember if it was something they had forgotten about or something utterly unexpected, but it was unexpected in that day. Certainly they got a check for the very amount they needed to be able to also pay their heating bill. And she went on to share, and it was so clear that it was because of that that her and her husband were able to know and experience God's goodness and his love for them in a deeper way. And it was only through that type of a situation that that was possible. And for all of us, at different moments in our lives, sometimes every day, in little ways, sometimes bigger, God is inviting us, God's calling us to that type of hope and trust in him. That Jesus makes clear is necessary, but it's precisely for our safety, our security, and our fulfillment. Just take a moment and ask God, what is the way that you're inviting that to that deeper faith, that leap of hope and faith in my life? Jesus, how can I do that? And help me to do that. Because he's always there to help us.